Good evening. I'm Samara.
Marka.
Good evening. We'll start in 1 minute. We are beginning with section 9 from Parashat Vayera from the Sivam commentary. And that's Pasuk 141 is the beginning. And we'll start after the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kuchabrichu ishkinte bishilu urchimu uskilu udkilu urchimu. Leachta l'shem yud he bavavhe v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenei aleinu maasei yadeinu kunenehu. Pasuk 141, section 9. Vehine vein lasara ishtecha memtet la ketiv. Vehine vein lecha. Ela begin bila yakasho yahamin agar ihu id bekad meyata bekad meyata rabbi shimon petach uyamar ben yikabed av yaved adonav ben Yiktabed Avda Yitzhak Le'Avraham. The translation. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. He asks, why does the verse not read, and lo, you shall have a son? And he replies, so that he may not assume that he will be born to Hagar, as before. Rabbi Shimon opened this discussion by saying, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. The words, a son honors his father, refers to Isaac honoring Abraham. My commentary. Why does the verse quoted start with what seems additional word? Lo does not seem to need to be said. The word is hine. Hine translates as there is. A better translation of this verse is, and there is a son to Sarah, your wife. This translation is more clear to me. It also indicates a way of language in the spiritual level. Both translations are direct to the point, yet the literal translation seems to mean more emphasis, in my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I thought Hineni means you are am. And of course, there's no am, is, or was, any of those auxiliary verbs in Hebrew. But I can see where a translation with here, H-E-R-E, doesn't sound like correct English. Instead of the form, he nay, usually when a word ends with the A sound, it means it has the construct of of in it. But none of them sound really, you know, the way we speak today anyway.
And there is a difference between the way the biblical Hebrew flows and modern Hebrew.
Right.
The question I'm asking is just something that occurred to me. I'm not really clear on how else to translate Hine, and I didn't investigate it, and I'm definitely not an expert in Hebrew grammar.
Well, I'm not either, but we had a rabbi whose verb portion was Shemini. And he was always relating to Abraham saying, "Here I am," you know, Hine me.
Hine me.
Now, I didn't see Mem Tet in there anywhere, or any mention of another figure, even a messenger.
No, clearly Mem Tet is the first initials of a phrase that we're not familiar with. It doesn't mean the angel.
Okay. Have we seen that before?
I have seen it once or twice before. Not often, but once in a while.
Okay.
Usually, they spell out the word that means Mem Tet. And then when I'm reading it, I'm saying Mem Tet rather than saying the name.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen that initial structure before. Another question is, if the phrase "a son honors his father" is referring to Isaac honoring Abraham, which can be accepted from the concept of the binding of Isaac, why did he allow himself to be bound? What's the second part of the verse, "a servant his master"? Who is that referring to?
And maybe it's an introductory paragraph, you know, we'll get into some of this because I see the word kativ, and I don't see written in there. Of course, an Aramaic word may not be the same as a Hebrew word, but it looks like there's several things that we're questioning about the translation.
So let's go on to the next pasuk and see if we can get some more clarity. Verse 142. Ematai ka bed leya bashata yakad leya al gabe madcha uvalamik rav leya. Barbana, Yitzhak Bartelatin, Ushva Shanin, Hawa the Abraham, Hawa Sava, the Elu Hawa, Lat Eat, the Garagla Had, Layakil may come. Kamea vihu, O kirlea laavo yakad, lea kichad imra begin, lamevad translation. When did he honor him? Isaac was 37 years old when Abraham bound him on the altar and offered him as a sacrifice. Abraham was so old that he could not have countered an attack from Isaac, not even a kick with one foot. But Isaac honored his father, who bound him like a lamb, and he showed no resistance in order to fulfill his father's will. My commentary. Isaac allowed himself to be bound and even inquired about the animal to be sacrificed. If his consciousness was to fulfill his father's will, then he honored Abraham. If his consciousness was to fulfill his ultimate father Hashem, then he was not honoring Abraham. This is my opinion, since Isaac has to accept the binding using his free will, and there can be no coercion, which there would be if Isaac did this to fulfill Abraham's will. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I don't know, over the years, you know, I've thought about this passage and thought about what possibly the conversation could have been as they were walking toward, you know, leaving their home and going to do the sacrifice, and how Isaac would, you know, what words would have been said. And it's one that, to me, is puzzling, you know. It's hard to imagine what each one of them would have said. And if you were to be the sacrifice, it would have even been more puzzling, I think, without knowing. And I don't think we have conversation in Midrash about their journey toward setting up the altar to sacrifice.
They actually do have, Midrash does have an explanation. Yeah, because there's a verse as they're going towards the mountain, and Abraham looks up and sees Mount Moriah, and it indicates that the two people with him didn't see Mount Moriah, but Isaac did. And it indicates, the Hebrew actually says, Abraham said to the two people that are with him, which tradition teaches, or the Midrash teaches, is Ishmael and his servant Eliezer, and that gives me the thought that the question I asked, who is the servant for his master, is Eliezer, because he of having to do with getting the wife for Isaac. But to finish my discussion or my thoughts on it, there's a verse as part of them going. Abraham looks up, sees Mount Moriah, and he says to the two people with him, I and the boy will go forward, and we will return to you. So he's telling them to stay here. So it's an indication that he knew that he wasn't going to sacrifice Isaac. But some people will say that that was just to keep Isaac calm. So we just don't know for sure. But the Hebrew is somewhat clear in that he said to the two people, wait here, the boy and I will go forward, and we will then return to you.
And I suppose we can think that Isaac's been circumcised, so his consciousness too would have been elevated.
Well, Isaac was circumcised as a baby. He was circumcised on the day. So he clearly was circumcised. And yes, his consciousness was elevated, and we learn from other Midrashim about that he started the afternoon prayer, which is an indication that he was doing the meditation in the field. When Rivka arrives with Eliezer, she sees him, her future husband, and it says he's in the field, but it actually says that he's praying in the field or meditating in the field. It can be interpreted either way. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have any comments? If not, I'll go on to 143. Korutea de Avraham, Weokir Leia, Kimadiktiv Vashem, Beirach et Adonai, Wigomer Uktiv, Wayomer Eved, Avraham Adonki Anochi. Begin Leokir Leia Le Avraham. The translation. An example of a servant honoring his master is Eliezer to Abraham, whom Abraham sent to Haran. There Eliezer honored Abraham by fulfilling his wishes, as it is written, and Hashem has blessed my master greatly. As well as, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. He did all of this to show respect to Abraham. According to the Midrash, Eliezer wanted Isaac to marry his own daughter. Yet he found Rivka for Isaac when there was no human to say he did not find her. This did honor Abraham. In your opinion, who is the better son? The question is a false comparison, since each has their own tikkunim, their own correction. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, he certainly was an example of humbleness.
You're referring to Eliezer being humble?
Yes.
I'm not questioning your thoughts on this. But I'm not sure that we can say he's humble, because we really haven't defined humble yet. In what way is he humble? If he's following someone's orders, is he humble? What is the meaning of humble is what I'm really questioning, because I've understood it differently. I've understood that part of being humble is to know your spiritual level.
Okay, I was going to say, with the Musar, yep, we're on humble. And the definition is, you know your place. And I don't know if you remember the first or the second day of the ritual with Nisan, And Judah went first to bring his offering, and he was considered king of Judah. And then the second day, it was Issachar, and he was considered king of the Torah, but he went right. his place. He wasn't first. So the idea that you know your place and you know, I mean, it's honoring those above you. I know even adults will address me with, yes, ma'am. Sometimes I don't like it. I'd rather you just look at me like yourself, you know. But I know that that person has been raised to be polite and is being polite. And so I let it go.
I understand. And you know, but we're both saying the same thing in a mm-hmm. different way. To be humble requires you to know your spiritual level. And was Eliezer saying he knew his spiritual level? Or was he addressing a particular issue with respect to the children of Ham, or the Negro, or the black the black people? Because that's really a question. It's a very deep question, and it's not a question I want to spend the time in. Mm-hmm. We really have to go into. But the Western society has treated black people as slaves. The Western society has always had this, not always, but maybe it is always, maybe it starts at this point in the Bible, that black people or Negroes were cursed. That's really part of our understanding of the Midrash, that the curse on Ham was that they were marked with the darker skin, and that has allowed Western people, the Caucasian people, to treat them differently. That in the Orient, I'm not sure how Negroes were treated, because I'm not sure if they were treated in the same way or not. But this is a whole issue about how the Western world, Western society, has treated Caucasians, have treated Negroes, black people. And we all, you know, we all are a function, we all are part of what our society teaches us. And so while that seems to have been changing in America, if we go back to the stories that about the people from Ethiopia that made Aliyah to Israel, and how they were treated, and even how their children were—you know—they've been accused that there were children that were stolen as part of that. So it's very much a historical issue that's going to one day have to be settled. And maybe that's part of what the Mashiach will settle. How does it get resolved?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is really discussing it that way, but it is part of the question of how did Eliezer respond to Abraham as a servant? Because the word Eved, that is the word that's used for a servant, and many times is translated as a slave.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know how Hagar came into Abraham and Sarah's household. Do we know how Eliezer came to their household? Was he one of his converts along the way because of...
He was a convert along the way, but it could have been that he was a slave, and then he converted because he was around Abraham, and he picked up on the teachings, because Abraham was converting people all along everything. Where he went, he was converting people.
Well, I think he would have also just in that household, and with Abraham personifying Hesed, that he would have picked up those characteristics.
And that's correct. And we learn in the writings on reincarnation from the Ari that who Eliezer's his next incarnation after he was Eliezer was not as a black man. It was as so he became a Jew in part of the Jewish world. I don't remember who it was, and we haven't gotten there in our current discussions, but it's all there.
Does his name mean God is my help? I've kind of forgotten.
Eliezer?
Yes. Ezrat Salah at the end of the quote.
Yeah, I don't think it's God as his help. I think it's God as his strength.
Strength, okay.
But that's my... It's not a clear memory, so I could be wrong.
Well, the phrase Ezrat Sarah means helper of Sarah. And then Eli, I thought maybe, you know, would have to do with
Eli. My God, it's mm-hmm. starting with the name of God El, and it's with a yud at the end means my. So,
okay.
But we can take a look at that. We don't have the time now.
Right. I'll check it. Other books in this room, but I've been moving this room around a lot. So.
Understand. So we're complete. We're out of time, so we can pick this up tomorrow, or, you know, we'll come to understand it. You all have a good evening, and I thank you. And we have the 7 o'clock class, plus we have 3 classes tomorrow. We have a class at 11 a.m. West Coast time, with Wednesday is Jewish history, and then the class at 4:30 is our it's a deep Zohar class. We'll continue where we are now, and our 7 o'clock class tomorrow is questions and answers. So shalom gadol to all. Have a good evening.
Shalom. Thank you.